What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. This is the podcast where you can hear the life stories behind the people on social media. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. And today is a takeaways episode. And if you're new here, what a takeaways episode is where I sit down, I talk to you about the most recent podcast episode of the week. And today we're discussing my conversation with Ish Verduzco. Now, if you haven't had a chance to listen to my full interview with Ish, make sure you go back and do that in the podcast right below this one in your feed. We had a great, about an hour long conversation around NFTs and goal setting. And it was a great conversation and a blast with Ish. If you don't have time to go and listen to that full interview, I respect your time. So a quick summary on who Ish is. I mean, Ish has done a lot of really cool things. So Ish is a best-selling author of Get Ish Done, which is a fantastic way. I highly recommend you check out. It'll be linked in the show notes down below. He is a successful DJ. He toured the US. He played Tau Las Vegas for his birthday, which is a very, in the DJing world, that's a great gig to have. He also landed his dream jobs. He worked for LinkedIn. He worked for Snapchat. And now he's the director of marketing for Crave It. And he's trying to, I believe it's take 25, the Ethereum equivalent of $25,000 American and flip it into $500,000 American. And so that's an ambitious goal. And so we had a really, really good conversation. It was kind of wide ranging. Essentially what I tried to do with that interview is I'm always reevaluating the podcast. And I was like, well, I've been questioning the nature in which I do the interviews, which is really like the chronological order. And so it's like, I still think I want to do them. I might change it up a little bit. So I was trying to test out a new way of approaching the interview. So it didn't necessarily go too heavy on issues like following his story as closely as I normally do. I kind of just wanted to ride with the conversation, see where things kind of ended up. And I liked it. I thought it was a really interesting conversation. It was pretty wide ranging. We talked about a lot of things. I still don't know if that's exactly how I'm going to do all the interviews going forward, but it was just a little peeling the curtain back a little bit into my mindset as I approach the interview. Is I'm trying to just experiment and push myself as an interviewer, not necessarily rise heavily on the notes and just really ride with the conversation. I think I'm going to end up finding a happy medium between the stories and just kind of letting it free flow. So that's kind of a little bit of an insight into why, if you're listening to this, you're like, I want to know about his time at LinkedIn and his time at Snapchat. I mean, like, I understand. And so maybe I'll reach back out to Ish and get him back on the show some point down the line. Cause yeah, I had like 10 pages of notes and there were so many things we could have talked about. But I really just kind of want to let the conversation flow and see where it ended up and ask the natural questions that made sense and not necessarily stick 100% to the structure that I'd set for the interview. But like I said, it's probably going to be a happy medium as I kind of keep playing with my approach to these interviews over time. But anyways, moving over to these takeaways, and my goal is to get this episode under 20 minutes. Will I do it? We're going to try. I have a few takeaways here that I really want to hit in this episode. So we'll see. And the first one that I want to talk about is, as a creator, you want to have something that will cover your bills. You know, so we're talking about how with Ish, he's a successful DJ. You know, he toured the US, he played Tau, and the entire time he was doing that, he had a full-time job, which is probably not a lot of people would expect that. And I asked him, like, why did you keep a full-time job? And he said, you know, if he hadn't had a full-time job, he would have essentially had to take on every single DJ gig that came his way. And that would have led him playing some questionable spots, some not great places, some not great gigs, but because he needed the money. And so as a creator, you know, I feel like we often romanticize going full-time with your creative work. And I understand the appeal of that. But if you try to go full time by just jumping off a cliff and hoping that you build a plane on the way down, that adds a lot of pressure to you as a creator. And, you know, creating under pressure, well, has benefits, I feel like, in short spurts, if you're doing sprints or things like that and really dialing in and focusing on your creative work and going all out, it can be beneficial. But when you, by adding that pressure, but when you extrapolate that over time and you're doing that over months, years of this constant pressure, it will wear on you. It will negatively impact your creative work. So if you have another source of income that allows you to cover your bills and live comfortably, that's going to allow you to create content. You're going to be more freely. And so I feel like that's such an important thing. Like, even like looking at this podcast as an example, this podcast has never been the full-time thing. It's never made enough to be the full-time thing. But despite that, I may have been able to keep up with it. Because if I'd been relying on this podcast for my full-time income, I probably wouldn't have been able to stick with it longer than a couple of months, because I wouldn't have made money, because I would have been putting so much pressure on myself and I would have been stressing every time I released an episode, because this has to be the one that takes off so I can pay rent this month. And I don't want you to have to experience that as a content creator. You should have a sense. And it's, I feel like it's a sense of like being able to say like, I run my own thing. I do my own thing. There's like a sense of pride with that. And again, I understand that I ran my own business for over a year full time, but also if you're able to bring in a consistent income from somewhere else and just allows you to focus on your passion, it's just going to allow you to, like I said, I think it's going to make it more enjoyable for you. And if as soon as money enters the equation with your creative work, it makes things, it changes the dynamic completely. And so there's nothing wrong with having a job to cover your bills to allow you to remove some of that pressure on your creative work. And now kind of a big portion of this conversation with Ish was around NFTs, right? Because it's something, a space I'm becoming more and more interested in. I haven't purchased an NFT yet. I think I'm looking. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to buy. I'm also getting into crypto more. Like I mentioned on the podcast, I'm trying to invest every month into a couple different cryptocurrencies. But Ish, I know it's very timely in terms of my conversation with Ish. Almost half the podcast, maybe just under, maybe like, I don't know. We'll say like half. I don't know. Either way, almost half the podcast was talking about NFTs. And I think it's because, like I said, I was kind of riding with that conversation. And I knew it was something I wanted to talk about because something I'm currently interested in and something Ish is going really heavy into right now. So, you know, it's very topical, very timely. I feel like that'd be a good thing to bring up. So we ended up spending a lot of time here just because, again, I had the interest kind of beyond just the podcast, something I want to like really learn about. And so I figured Ish would be someone who's doing really well in the space, would be someone good to ask those questions to. And so these next few takeaways are going to be really NFT focused. And then we'll wrap up with the takeaways with a couple goal setting takeaways. And so for the NFT, again, if you'd never heard of NFT, I feel like that's something we probably should have covered on the podcast that I forgot to ask. Sometimes, you know, when I've done the research, I forget that not everyone else has. So NFT is non-fungible token. It's essentially a digital, I don't even know how to explain NFTs properly. So it's non-fungible token is what it stands for. I'm just going to Google it because Google will have a better definition than if I just try and sit here and rattle off my internal definition. So a non-fungible token is a unique, non-interchangeable unit of data stored on a digital ledger. Okay, so essentially, NFTs are digital assets. So right now, they're very much art pieces, digital art at the moment, but we're going to start seeing people add utility to them. So for example, Gary Vaynerchuk, he's released his own NFTs, his own digital art pieces, and they also double as your ticket to his exclusive event for only his NFT holders. Or another example is Drake could release a Drake coin, and everyone that owns this Drake coin gets access to his album a week early or something like that. So you can tie utility to these NFTs. But right now, for simplicity's sake with this, they're digital art pieces at the moment. That's the easiest way to explain them. And we're not going to get into people discussing why would you buy digital art. I don't want to get down that rabbit hole with you because I'm like, why would you buy physical art? What's the difference? But anyways, I digress. We're just going to talk about Ish's investing strategy as it applies to the world of NFTs. And just to be absolutely clear, this is not investment advice. This is for educational and entertainment purposes only. All right. And so when Ish is looking at NFTs, he's looking at three things. He looks at the team, the community, and the traction. You know, he's investing in NFTs the same way someone would invest in startups. And I think that's interesting because essentially, like, NFTs are businesses. If you look at all NFTs, they all have roadmaps. And so they show you what their plan is, how they're going to build around this art that they've put out, you know, whether it be like a Gary V where it's a ticket to an event. A lot of people are doing merch. A lot of people are doing additional NFTs you'll get if you own this NFT. So there's a lot of different aspects. So these NFTs are essentially businesses. And so if you've ever wanted to invest in a company, NFTs allow you to do that, but for a much smaller scale. You know, when you're investing in startups, we're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, you want to $10,000 checks, $25,000 checks, $50,000, $100,000 checks. And for a lot of people, that doesn't make sense. But NFTs allow you to do that at a much smaller scale. You know, a lot of these art pieces, these NFTs, are like $150, $200, $250, you know, which is a relatively reasonable thing. And these NFTs at the moment, I mean, I definitely think like we're probably in a bubble. I think there will be a time. I mean, I don't know for sure. I'm actually kind of talking out of my ass to be completely fair. But from my understanding, is like, even if we are in a bubble? So right now we're seeing a lot of ridiculous returns coming in the world of NFTs. You know, we're seeing again, but not every project will do that. But anyways, NFTs is essentially allows you to get into investing into companies for a very, very cheap amount. very, very, not cheap, reasonable amount for someone like you or I. And so I asked Ish, like, what do you look for when you're looking at NFT? He looks for team, community, and traction. So let's break those three things down. So the team, like, who are the people behind it? You know, and Ish looks, tries to gauge that. Obviously, he probably does a little bit of just like top level research, like seeing, looking at their Twitter profile, what they've done before. But he also just kind of, you know, spends time in the, observes in the Discord. So a lot of these NFTs, they're built, honestly, like you buy them online, but like the community is built on in Discord and Twitter. And so Ish likes to kind of look primarily in the Discord where he can see each of the individual, the team behind it. How do they handle certain situations as they arise in the group chat? And so Ish likes to look at that, likes to see how the team handles these things. So he kind of gauges the community from inside the group chat or inside the Discord. And he also gauges the community from inside the Discord. He knows everyone. Is it feeling pump and dumpy? Is it feeling scammy? Or is everyone genuinely excited to be here, excited to build, like they want to rock with us for the long term? So he spends time in the Discord and just kind of gauges the community and the team from there. And he also looks at the traction. You know, like if he jumps into the Discord and there's 12 people in there, like oh, there's probably not a lot of traction with this NFT. But if there is and the Discord's still popping, like then that's, there's definitely some traction there. Ish also likes to look at, Ish doesn't like to buy, from my understanding, he doesn't like to mint them, which is again another NFT thing we don't necessarily have to get into, but he doesn't like to buy them when they are released. He likes to buy them on the secondary market because he likes to see how post launch these NFTs are doing. Is there still traction? You know, a lot of things, they have hype when they're announced, but then, you know, shortly after that first on sale, it really kind of slows down and declines. And so he likes to see post release, how does the traction stay? Is it still there? Has it dwindled? Has it dwindled a lot? Has it only dwindled a little bit? Is there potential for it to come back and gain traction again? And so that's how Ish kind of vets the NFTs he's looking at. And I think one thing that we should really talk about when it comes to Ish and NFTs is he's learning in public. So he mentioned on the podcast, you know, if you go to his Twitter account right now, which I believe is just at Ish Verduzco, I'll link it in the show notes down below as well so you can find it. Actually, let me just Google it really quickly here for you. So I have it, Ish. So Ish's Twitter, if you go to his Twitter right now, which is, yeah, it's at Ish Verduzco, his pinned tweet is this. I'm going to turn 7 Ethereum into 100 Ethereum, $400,000 in the next 6 months flipping NFTs. Follow along and I'll share the entire process. And so with that, again, the numbers have changed a little bit. I think he's trying to go to 500,000 and he's put a little bit more ETH in, I think another 3 ETH into his budget for this. But what he's doing here is he's learning in public. So he's sharing his entire process, one, which is just engaging for people who follow along and want to learn, but also it's getting it in front of people who might know more about NFTs than Ish. And they can give advice, they can give feedback. And he can not only learn by doing, but he can learn from the community. Now the community is following along because he's learning in public. And you can learn in public with anything you're doing. You can learn in public with podcasting, with social media, with writing, with anything. You know, as long as you're out there, you're engaging in the community will engage back and you can learn in public. And it's a little bit scary, obviously, because people might call you out on things you're doing wrong, but those things that they're calling out aren't going to help you improve. And so I just think learning in public is such a valuable skill for anybody, or not skill, I'm sorry, but a valuable asset, you know, is to be able to build in public, to learn in public. And that's what Ish is doing with these NFTs. So now he's building community around the fact that he's building in public. So people are following along to see how he's doing, but these people can also give him feedback and help him improve how he's building. And I just think that's just so powerful, you know, and like that's one of the amazing benefits of social media that not everybody necessarily gets to take advantage of. And so I just think learning in public is important. And another thing, as it applies to NFTs, and again, this is not investment advice. This is for educational and entertainment purposes only. If you want to get into NFTs, everyone always says, you know, do your own research, obviously, which is like, make sure when you invest, you're not just following what everyone else is doing. Make sure you know why you're investing and don't invest money you can't lose. That's very important because a lot of these NFT projects are probably going to go to zero one day. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk out here saying 98% of these projects will go to zero. And so if you're going to put money into it, don't put it in for the quick flip. Make sure you're investing money you're okay to lose, that you can lose. And invest money you're comfortable with it going to zero. And also with that in mind, if it's going to go to zero, think about then the pieces you're buying. Like I think Ish said, like, you know, he makes sure when he buys a piece, he has to like the art because he doesn't want it to go to zero. And then it just to be staring at him for the rest of time in his wallet being like, hey, remember when you spent all this money on me and I went to zero and you don't like the art. So make sure when you're buying a piece, you're not just buying it for the potential upside of it. Oh my gosh, I could flip this for money, buy it because you like the work, you know? And I think that's so important, because at the end of the day, like, if 98% of these do go to zero, you're going to want to make sure that you spend money on something you at least enjoy looking at, you know? And I think for me, I often like stress about spending money, you know? I'm like, wow, you know, I could go to zero. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't want it to, like, do I want to just waste my money? And then I stop and I think, what else am I wasting my money on that doesn't even have the potential to return? Most things that I buy go to zero. All the clothes I buy pretty much go to zero, maybe a very small couple bucks if I wanted to resell it. The food I buy goes to zero, but food is necessary, I understand. The video games I buy also go to zero. You know, a lot of the things you buy in a day go to zero. And so I think it's just funny how if something has the potential to return, but also the potential to go to zero, we're like, oh, I don't know. But if something has no potential to return, but a lot of almost guaranteed potential to go to zero, we're like, yeah, fuck it. And so that's my, I just thought of that now, but I think that's an important thing to share. Really for myself, that's what that I'm, that's just like a thought I just had that I feel is a big unlock for me, is that like everything you're already buying is going to zero. So buying an NFT has potential for an upside. So why not? But make sure it's money that you can afford to lose. Don't bet your house. Don't miss your rent because you can't, because you want to buy an NFT and hope it doubles. And again, that brings it back to, you're just adding so much pressure. If you're playing with money you can't afford to lose, it's just not fun. Same thing with creative. If you don't have money coming in as a creative, it's going to add pressure, an unnecessary pressure, and you don't want to stress yourself out. So make sure you enjoy the art. Make sure it's money that you can afford to lose. And also, finally, like, this next takeaway is be patient with NFTs. You know, if you're investing in a project, make sure you're investing for the long term. I think that's so key. Is don't invest in a project because you hope it's going to flip. Because again, then you're adding pressure to it. Then you're going into it with the wrong expectation. Buy projects you like, buy projects for the long term, and be patient. You know, Ish said, like, people are so impatient with NFTs. You know, they buy it in the morning. If it hasn't like 10x by the afternoon, they're pissed off and they sell it at a loss. And it's just like, sometimes these things take time. You know, things are going to take time to build, and you're just going to have to be patient. You're going to have to trust in the community and trust that you're investing for the long term. You know, that's the same thing with the stock market, is long-term investing. It's just be patient with your investment and look beyond just a quick flip. Make sure you like the art. Make sure you believe in the vision. And if you believe in the vision, then you still have those chances to get those returns. It's just going to take some time. It might take a little bit longer. It might take years to see a decent return. But if you're patient with it, then, and you're investing money that you're comfortable losing, you're okay to kind of set it aside and be patient. So again, none of this is investment advice. This is all for fun. This is all for educational entertainment purposes only. And make sure you do your own research and invest at your own risk. And again, this is not investment advice. Now, my last couple takeaways here, we'll try and get these under the 20-minute mark, like I said, is to set bigger goals with an ambitious timeline. And so Ish, like I talked about, his tweet here is to make $500,000 in order to take $25,000 and turn it into $500,000 in the next 6 months flipping NFTs. So there's two things with that. One, that's a lot of money. That's a very, very ambitious goal. And you're probably thinking that, like, that's a crazy goal. Like, why would you, that's going to be so hard to achieve. And you put that out publicly. Like, that's just, why would you do that? You know, like, because that means the likelihood of you not achieving that goal is going to be so much higher. And realistically, let's talk about that. So, one, he set a very ambitious goal and he put it out publicly, for one, because we just talked about why he put it out publicly, because people can help him achieve his goal. And now people know him, people are supporting him, and he has a community around him. But even though the fact that it's a huge goal, right? So he wants to take 25K and turn it into 500K. If he fails that goal, what does failing at that goal look like? Does he take 25K and turn it into 375K? That's considered failing the goal. But he just made 370 or 350K. You know what I mean? So if you set ridiculous goals, even if you fail at achieving them, you're still going to be so much further along for having tried to achieve them. And I think people often get tripped up when they set goals. They set small, reasonable goals that they know they can achieve. But because they don't want to set bigger goals because they don't want to fail, because we've been trained through our school and things like that, that failing is bad. You know, I'm very much risk averse because of education and failing a test being demonized, and succeeding when passing a test was celebrated. And so now I have this fear of failure. But if you fail, again, in Ish's case, if he fails trying to get $500,000, half a million dollars in 6 months, oh, well, maybe, again, maybe he makes $350,000, which again, obviously you don't want to fail, but like you're still so much further along. It's the saying, you know, if you shoot for the moon, even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. So set a bigger goal. Think of an ambitious goal you have that's hard to achieve. That's a big goal. Okay. Now think of a goal that's even just a little bit bigger than that. Push the boundaries even further and go for it. And because you never, ever know. You never know what's going to happen. And if you just work your ass off for 6 months like Ish is, you could be so much further along. And again, maybe it's $300,000. Maybe it's $428,000 that he makes in the end. It might not be that $500,000. But again, he's going to be so much further along than if he was took 25K and was like, I want this to be 30K. I just want to make $5,000 on it. You know, I mean, he plays differently. He approaches it differently. And if he fails that goal, well, then whatever. But like if he makes that goal, great, he made $5,000. But if he goes, even if, so let's just look at that. So even if his goal is to make, we'll say double. We'll say he wants to make his 25K. He wants to double it, turn it into 50K in the next 6 months. Okay. So let's say he achieves that. He makes 50K. He doubles his money, makes $25,000. Awesome. So would you rather achieve that goal of doubling your money in 6 months? Or would you rather fail your goal of getting to 500 and make $285,000? I'd probably fail the $500,000 goal and take $285,000. But we don't think like that when we start out. We just think small and think safe. But you can always, I just think it's just so important is to set those big goals and go for them. And the other half of that equation is to set those big goals with an ambitious timeline, right? Like Ish isn't trying to make $500,000 in NFTs in the next 8 years. He's trying to do it in 6 months. And again, by doing that, again, it puts that, I think that's positive pressure, you know, but the money pressure of investing what you can invest or having no money coming in as a creator, that's the wrong kind of pressure. But putting a short timeline puts pressure on you. It forces you to work. It forces you to focus and dial in. And it might make it makes it even harder to achieve that goal. But again, in 6 months, even if he makes that much money, $375,000 in the next 6 months, he's still much further along than if he set that more reliable, safer goal. And so set big goals with ambitious timelines. You know, there's a saying, I can't remember what the saying is. It's like, if you were to achieve your 10-year goals in the next 6 months, what would that look like? And even if you don't achieve it in 6 months, you're still gonna be so much further along than if you tried to achieve your 10-year goals in 10 years. And I just think that's such an important mindset that not a lot of people deploy because, again, we're so afraid of failure. But I'm telling you, set bigger goals with ambitious timelines. And now the last takeaway that we'll quickly touch on here, I know we ran over 20 minutes, as we always do, that's fine, is when you're setting these goals and you're like, man, like, how do I get, you know, I feel like what we always do when we set big goals is we stress about, I don't know how to do B through Z. Like, I don't know how to do any of those steps. Like an example, when I started my company, before I ever even took it full-time, before I was even making enough money for myself to be full-time doing it, I was stressing because I didn't know how to hire somebody. I don't know what's the payroll like? How does that work? I didn't know how to do any of that. And that was stressing me out, but I hadn't even taken the job full time myself yet. And so I was stressing about like step seven, and I was still on step one. And I feel like we often do that. You know, we set these big goals, but then we stress about step 327 because we don't know how to do that, but we're still on step two. And just like, chill, start with your goal. And work all the way back until you can do something right now that you can accomplish. You know, we talked about this on the podcast with TAGs, is figure out that ginormous goal that you have and then break it down, or whatever goal, it doesn't have to be a ginormous, any goal, and break it down into steps and work all the way back until it's something you can achieve right now. And then work at it, achieve that, and then move on to the next and the next and the next and the next. Just take it bit by bit. Just work your way back to a point where you can do it now, where you can achieve that first step now. And just keep doing that and chip away. You know, you're not going to, Rome wasn't built in a day. Ish isn't going to be able to make that money in a day. He's doing it in 6 months, but he's learning every single day. He's learning more. He's moving up that ladder of steps. You know, you just got to start. Let me summarize it this way. Start with step one and go from there. All right. Set your big goal, set an ambitious timeline, work your way back to step one and start stepping. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Takeaways. Whether you listen the entire way through or you only listen to bits and pieces, I really appreciate you taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor. Go and follow Ish. Go check out his book. I personally want to go buy a copy right away here. I just having that conversation with him. I'm really fascinated and interested to hear kind of this framework and this step-by-step process that he's laid out in his book. So I really want to pick up a copy. I highly recommend you do as well. It'll be linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. Also make sure to Ish's Twitter and Everything is linked down there, so you can check out his OpenSea, so you can see what he's buying NFTs. You can follow him, so you can follow him as he builds in public. So that's all down there. If you'd like to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to leave us a positive rating and review. Share this episode with a friend and subscribe to the show. Put a brand new interviews every single Monday, and a brand new takeaways episode is an audio exclusive where I sit down and break down the most recent podcast episode of the week every single Thursday. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.